God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Hello, and welcome to the Mission Control podcast. My name is Amanda Levy, and I'm the Communications Director here at First Baptist Melbourne, and I'm the host of this podcast. Today, we have Aaliyah Terry joining us. Hi. Aaliyah just came back from being on mission overseas with YWAM. She's also the daughter of one of our pastors, Pastor Scott Terry, so that's exciting. So I thought it would be a great conversation. I was looking forward to hearing about how God has used her with her missions and just some of the decision-making that went into graduating from high school. You just graduated last year, right?
Yeah.
So graduated from high school, did a little bit of a gap year, maybe longer, who knows, we'll talk. So before we get into it, though, I thought we would do a fun little space-related icebreaker question.
Okay.
So, space travel would often include long periods of isolation.
Yeah.
What book, movie, or piece of music would you bring on a deep space mission to keep you motivated and encouraged? And I'm going to go ahead and say that the Bible, like, it's great. Let's go beyond just the Bible.
Okay. Wow. I think I always go back to this movie. It's the only movie that I normally and consistently watch for the most part, and that's Meet Me in St. Louis. And so it's an older classic. I think it's from like the 40s or 50s. And yeah, my mom and I watch it often together. I've dragged my best friend to watch it like three times with me.
So it would have like the nostalgia and just in general movie you love.
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
Just something like turn my brain off, but completely enjoy too.
I mean, that's a fun answer.
Yeah.
So it's been fun talking about outer space. Thought it would be fun to talk about what's happening in your space, though.
Yeah.
So, like, how did you, you just came back from YWAM. Let's talk a little bit. How did you come to deciding to go overseas after high school?
Yeah. So when I was nearing like junior year and I had to make decisions about what's next, or really just all throughout high school, especially since I'm a planner too. I'm like, okay, what am I doing next? But it was, closer towards the junior and senior year when there's more of a push. Okay, what are you going to do? Colleges, applications, scholarship stuff. And I had previously been completely against going to college.
Okay.
So that's an
Was this something that was influenced from outside, or was this just something you grew up and you just knew?
I think it was just something inside.
Okay.
Just I wanted to start my own business. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I'm like, I don't need college for that.
Sure.
Which, yeah.
Sure. I don't think, I think there's certainly a mold in our society, especially in American society, of like, well, you graduate high school and then you go to college and then you have to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So I think it's cool that you're independently thinking.
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted to not just conform to what everyone else expected me to do. And I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And maybe it's a little bit out of stubbornness because I wanted to butt against that.
Sure.
And be like, no, I can still make it in the world without going to college.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really just like God brought me to a point to like a soften heart. Okay, like what actually do you want me to do, Jesus? And it was a question I had spent like a year and a half just asking him, and I never heard him say, this is what you should do. It was just these little nudges and these little arrows. And I think that we often expect when someone says, go pray about it, when you're needing to make a decision, it's often you're waiting for God to just like audibly speak or just somehow just come through.
Sure.
Because that's how we relate to each other. But he nudged me through a book. And then he nudged me just through, that sense that I didn't want to go to college, but kind of maybe removing the stubbornness a little bit and the sense that I wanted to prove myself and the pride in that. And just, okay, I actually don't think that's right for you right now, Aaliyah. And so kind of making me aware through that. And then just, I'm super passionate about creativity and the arts, and I have a lot of giftings in that, which is another thing where I was like, oh yeah, I don't need to go to college for that because I can just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so true. But he took that and said, okay, I see that you're so passionate about this and this is something I have for you. Let's go pursue that. And I love to travel as well. Figured out, well, I thought I loved planes beforehand until I took a 9-hour plane flight. And I'm like, yeah. Well.
Was that the first longest flight you had taken?
Okay. Yeah, it was. And that was a fun kickoff start to my experience. But that's fine. I got really sick on that flight. And
no.
So it was just like him having me be completely dependent on him.
Yeah.
That's fine. I look back on it now and it's worth it. Because I was like, okay, Jesus, this is totally you. And I think that was part of this whole process was I don't have an answer. And I really love to be in control as most of us do.
Yeah.
And it was towards like, I was just finished my first semester of senior year and I still didn't have an answer.
Okay.
And I was like, Jesus, like, I actually need to decide. Like, I'm putting you on a time.
Yeah.
And he's like, uh-huh, yeah, sure.
Get in line, lady.
Mm-hmm, yep. And I was just having a conversation with one of my good friends and a mentor, and she just happened to mention YWAM. And when she said it at first, she had mentioned a few other options, and I thought those would be more of the ideal thing, what I would be more interested in. And lo and behold, I looked up YWAM and I got like so excited just because it was everything I had wanted and everything he was nudging me towards, but I didn't realize. And I had even made a list. I said, okay, Jesus, if I could have a perfect gap year, because I had decided at the beginning of senior year, I was going to take a gap year.
Gotcha.
And I said, if I could have my perfect ideal gap year, it would be, I would travel to Europe, I would travel to a third world country, which was my idea of missions, and then I would pursue my creative passions, and I would also learn more about God.
Okay.
And just learn about your heart, Jesus. And he answered all of those things, minus the third world country, but it was like the missions part.
that was
what my idea was, but I ended up going to the UK, which isn't a third world country, but everyone needs Jesus. So.
Yeah.
And then I realized that once I settled on YWAM and I sent in my application to this base in Norway and I was accepted, and I just looked back and saw all of the ways that God had been moving and just that he had answered everything I told him I wanted, which isn't true all the time because he knows what we truly want and truly need.
Yeah.
But, he nudged me in that direction to show me that's what I wanted. And then he showed me, I want this for you too. And I'm going to fulfill that.
So I'm curious. You said you read a book that kind of started this whole thing. Yeah. What was the book that you read?
I think the title is Kisses from Katie.
Oh, okay.
You know, Katie Davis, and she was in Uganda. She did the same after she graduated high school. She took a gap year to an orphanage in Uganda.
Okay.
She ended up staying for a while.
Is that kind of what started the whole idea of, maybe I'll take a gap year?
Yeah,
or had you thought about it previously?
Well, I had thought about it before previously, but I think at that point I saw the fruit in it because I didn't know what I wanted to do yet, and I'm not rushed. And Jesus wasn't rushing me. So, and then he showed me this is never going to lose its value. And you're never going to regret doing that. So, I'll go for it.
Yeah. So you also mentioned that your idea of missions at the time was third world, going to a third world country is missions.
Yeah.
How has God broadened that definition of missions in your mind, or has he?
Yeah, no, he definitely has. And it was really releasing. And even while I was there, some of my idea was, okay, maybe it's not just third world country. Maybe it's just unreached population in general. That's completely true. But at the same time, it keeps us, I think, as an excuse from talking to the person right beside us because they're not in a third world country.
Yeah.
That person is like, walking the street next to me.
Very privileged.
Yeah, exactly. But they need Jesus because it's not just about their external circumstances. Oftentimes, I think the testimony coming back from a lot of third world countries is why they have so much joy, though they don't have anything. And us in the more Western world, and I did my missions part in the UK. And so most of the time they're privileged and have more wealth than a lot of the world. And what I saw is, yeah, they're wealthy on the outside, but they're like just poor in spirit and poor in heart because they don't have the riches in Jesus. And that's for so many people around the world. I don't even think classifying, like, we don't need to classify, oh, this is the people that needs Jesus the most.
Yeah.
Because that keeps us from showing up to the person right beside us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So you go to Norway.
Yes.
Did you just go to the internet? Did you have someone who actually had a connection? You just threw a shot out in the dark and got answered it? How did that work?
Well, that friend who had said YWAM to me, she was working a little bit with YWAM Kona in Hawaii because that's where YWAM's main sort of base is, even though they're decentralized. That's a value in the organization, but it's still where the University of Nations is located. So at first I'm like, yeah, Hawaii, that sounds great. but they have a huge website because they're all over the world in so many nations. And their main thing is discipleship training school. And so that's normally like a 5 or 6 month training course and also missions part. And so I just started typing in their search bars and like different filtering things. And a lot of times these DTSs are have different focuses on them. And so that's where the creativity side came in. And so I started looking at creative bases, and this one in Ålesund, Norway came up close to the top because they're very well known for being excellent creative school. And so I applied there. I mean, I was deciding between like a few, but it was pretty quickly. Love them. Love just what they're putting out, like the content and how they speak about Jesus. And I can see their foundations and how they love to merge Jesus with creativity. And so put my application in there, and I heard back in March of my senior year. So that was fun for me. I had like 2 months until I graduated.
People asking you, what are you doing? Like, No idea. How fun was that for you? Was that like a stretching phase for you?
Yeah, it was. Because people do like to ask that question. I mean, that's it's a natural question to ask when someone's on the next, like, edge
They're
of
at
life.
A crossroads of a transition.
Yeah, because it's just unique and fun to see what people are up to. And yes, so I did get that question a lot. And I would say, I don't know. And they say, that's okay. And I'm like, yeah, I know that's okay, but at the same, like, I knew what I was kind of doing, but I didn't want to say that in case I didn't get accepted.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
But I do have plans,
and I am thinking,
I'm not just a lazy person.
Yes. Yeah.
I could see, as someone who also really likes control, that that might be very difficult. Okay, so it was a 5 to 6 month disciple training school, DTS. What happens in disciple training school for you? What was your experience at Ålesund?
So I left in September for their September school, and it's 3 months in Norway, which is the base. And that's where we do some of the more like training and school parts. So it'll look like each week we have a different lecture topic, and we spend half of the day in lectures, and they fly in a different teacher from around the world for each topic. And so we did things like hearing God's voice, the nature and character of God, and then maybe more of the practical topics like healthy relationships, spiritual warfare stuff, things like that. We had, I think, 11 lecture weeks. And it was so good. It was so good.
Was it the same topic for a week?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And so there were just lots of lectures around that topic.
It was like an intense dive in that topic for a week. Yes. And then we also had different, our different tracks that we chose. So like I mentioned, it was a creative school, and I ended up choosing their photography course. But they had 5 different tracks within their creative school, and then they also had an outdoor track because it's Norway.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's some stunning opportunities for that. And so we had one track day a week, and like a half of an afternoon for track on once a week. We also had a track week and then a track weekend. Okay. So there was some good times to really dive into your creative arts and pursuit. And it was really, really cool. I learned a lot. Just their main thing was how to co-create with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really intriguing topic, and just understanding that, and it changed each one of our approaches to art, because there were some super phenomenal and talented artists there. Like, really, it just blew my mind. And once we all understood, okay, we can create with Jesus something that'll just change people's perspective and mind, and mm-hmm. just bring him into situations that other people, like, they're not going to walk into a church necessarily, but they're going to walk into an art gallery and just be touched by this piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that was kind of what our weeks looked like. There was some worship and intercession thrown in there, and
okay.
a lot of community things too. That was a big value of theirs.
Okay. So you had that for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then what? You go to the UK. Mm-hmm. Did you know you were going to the UK when you...
No.
What did that process look like?
Yeah. So that's another question I got a lot before I left was, okay, you're going to Norway, and then where else?
Like, I don't know.
No idea. And so... that we split into four groups.
Okay.
And I think it was like 3 weeks in to being there. We were presented the options of where we were going. The four teams were going. And then we had some time to talk about it with, like, if we needed someone, like a one-on-one, which is basically a mentor, if we need to talk to it with them, or just pray and mm-hmm. seek, okay, where do you want me to go, Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And so our teams were the UK,
uh-huh.
Europe, which was three different countries in Europe. They did buses and trains around Europe. So okay. they didn't take any
You
planes.
Got to go to Europe.
Yeah. That's very true. And then Mexico and Australia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So those were two completely opposite sides of the world for
yes.
that one. That was fun. But... yeah, so we ended up being split into teams. We did like a scavenger hunt. They made it fun to find out where we were going and who we were going with. And from there, that was our team. And we knew that pretty early on, so we could build those connections.
Uh-huh.
Before we went into our location, our missionary location for the next 2 months.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
That's what what did some of the days look like when you were on the missionary assignment?
Yeah. So I, in the UK, was in Scotland for 2 weeks, Liverpool for a month, and then a small English countryside town towards the south of England for another 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And so each location was very different, but I guess I can talk about Liverpool because I was there for the longest. It was the most, like, rooted that we
mm-hmm.
Became in the UK. And so normally we would have some pretty set... like outreach opportunities because we were there for 4 weeks. And so we mm-hmm. got to do things repeatedly weekly.
Mm-hmm.
So on like a Tuesday was our busiest day. We had, working with the refugee ministry through a local church. They, would have like a shop in a way where you could, come in and get clothes or essentials that you would need, as well as just community, like the tables out, games, and some hot food. And so I got to go to that a couple times, and that was really cool just to connect with. There's a lot of refugees, especially in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And then another, like, our team would break into parts for this because there were so many ministries that day.
Yeah.
Another team would go to a homeless ministry and kind of do a similar thing. And then one more team would stay behind and plan for the ministry that night that we would all come back to. And that was okay. working with an international church, which was like so many countries and denominations. Yeah. So that was really interesting to work with because I was already confronted with a bunch of cultures anyways when I came to Norway.
Yeah.
And then to be in a multicultural church was really interesting. We got to work with their youth for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess big question that a lot of people might have in their mind mm-hmm. who are maybe one step or two steps behind
yeah.
you, how does funding for something like this work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this was, I don't know. I wasn't super worried about it, which is intriguing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's, I think I just saw Jesus a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Take control of my worry and just like clothe me in love. I got you, girl. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I sent you this and I'm going to get you through. And so I wasn't really worried about it. I wrote up a letter to some of my family and friends and explained what I'd be doing next in my season of life and the support that I would need. And very quickly, I got all of it. And
that's
so
awesome.
I'm really blessed and super grateful for that. But a lot of the friends that I made in Norway, they did different things. Like some of them would use their arts to make like cards or something like that and then sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Different things like that.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have to be too creative because, yeah, wow. I was so, so grateful when all of that came in within a month. Okay, okay. Jesus.
Hey, another confirmation. Provided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you want me to go. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Got it. That mm-hmm. makes it easy. It's always cool when God validates things with tangible. Yeah, you're provided. You're good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that he's going to provide for us, but it's cool to see it in action.
Exactly.
Awesome. So was the experience what you thought or expected it would be?
I think the whole, like the gist of it, yes. But me actually in that experience, it totally exceeded it.
Okay.
Because I could see through their website or through their Instagram, okay, this is kind of what it would look like, some of their values, things that I can expect. And then when I was the one actually in that, it's just life-changing. Just being with community and just being so invested into learning God. And then, well, one of YWAM's main slogans is to know God and to make him known.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was often emphasized, and that can be seen in the two different phases, the lecture phase and then the outreach phase.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, once being in those personally, yeah, it definitely changed me and exceeded all expectations.
That's awesome. What were some of the ways that you really saw God show up while you were doing this?
Yeah, I would say I wanted to quit a lot of days.
Yeah?
It's, especially during outreach, it's really hard just to get up and to pour out for like 12 hours and then go to bed and do it again. And it takes a lot of energy. And I think that was, I mean, I could say, you know, stories, like specific stories of where I saw him come through me for another person.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest things that will stay with me is how faithful he is to, okay, I'm going to equip you to do this. And you're not going to feel like you have superhuman strength, but you're going to have enough to get through the day.
Yeah.
Just enough so that you can depend on me, which is the best
to
place
to
be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. What advice would you have for someone who is maybe in the season you were just in? Maybe they don't feel like college is the answer for them, but they don't know where to go. They don't know where to look.
Yeah. I would say that an encouragement to me in that time was you're not going to miss your future. And God won't let you miss your future. I mean, of course, that means that you need to be seeking him.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you have to be doing these grand gestures of seeking him. It's just the simple, I need help, Jesus. Or I don't know what to do. And he hears each one of those prayers and he stores them up and he's going to do something on it.
Yeah.
And he's not going to let you miss your future.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know those little nudges and arrows. I didn't know that was God. And looking back, oh, yeah, that's totally you, Jesus. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really, I think when you're a student and when you're younger and you have all these people asking you, so what are you going to do when you grow up? You're like, I don't know. There are adults who don't know what they're going to do when they grow up. So I think hearing that and remembering, you're not going to miss your future.
Yeah.
You're not going to miss out on God's plan for you as long as you're faithful in seeking him. I think that's really good advice.
Yeah.
Are there places that were very helpful to you or resources that were very helpful to you that you would recommend to someone else who's trying to discern some of these things?
Yeah, I think a big book that has helped me oftentimes when I make decisions is The Next Right Thing by Emily P. Freeman.
I love that phrase, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's like
one of the things Frozen did right, I'm just saying.
Yeah. You can just like just go off the title and you have all the advice that you need for life. But yeah. No, her book is really good. Just helping you to see where God is leading you, mm-hmm. As well, like those nudges and those arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also just say journaling, that I just journaled so much while I was there, but also beforehand.
Yeah.
Because it, one, helped me get out what I was feeling, like, okay, I'm just frustrated right now.
Yeah.
That I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
But also, like, journaling things that, okay, this gave me a lot of life, and I feel a lot of life here.
Yeah.
And are very alive, and God wants us to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Because he built us to do things that make us alive.
Yeah.
And that's often where we can bring the kingdom the strongest, because we're so passionate about something. So I would write down those things, and those were often, like, when I look back now, yeah, that's exactly how he was leading me here.
Yeah.
Those things are very important.
Yeah. I have found journaling, especially when you're in a season of, like, waiting or I don't know, to be very powerful, to then look back on and be reminded, just like you said, of God's faithfulness in this. So then when you find yourself later in another season of waiting over something different, you can look back almost like the spiritual memorial stones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, God was faithful then. He's going to be faithful in this too.
Exactly.
So that's awesome. What are some things you're looking forward to in this next season of life?
Well, I know I just went on an adventure with God.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just looking forward to more discovery. And maybe it's not going to look like this huge adventure like I just did, but he has so many little adventures in store. And I think the element of surprise is so much fun, especially, like, on the foundation that he loves me.
Yeah.
Because surprises from someone who don't love you or who doesn't love you, that's not fun. That's very scary.
Yeah.
But now that I know just how much God loves me,
yeah,
I'm so excited for him to surprise me and to see what's next.
I think that's a great outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right. So finally, what advice or encouragement would you have for someone who's seeking to live out the call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God?
Well, similar to that, I think there's a lot of fear involved. But I would just encourage you to keep seeking God's heart and keep asking him to show you how much he loves you, because he will definitely come through on that promise.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like it says over and over, again, just his love will cast out all fear, and do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? Because he loves you so much and he's so for you.
Mm-hmm.
And once you realize that narrative of God and replace that with all of the narratives that he's against you or he doesn't want what's best for you, then the fear, it definitely minimizes or even goes away.
Yeah.
So know how much God loves you.
Yeah. And not only does he love you so much, but he has all the control in the world.
Yeah.
So it's great to be loved by someone.
Yes.
It's even better to be loved by someone who's, like, all-knowing, all-powerful. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, finally, is there anything you would like to share with our listeners about YWAM, creative stuff, your life, anything in general, your walk with God?
I think just touching on the creativity part, that every one of us are creatives in different capacities, because we are made in the image of God. And God, over and over again, is the creator, not just of the world, but of all of these stories of each person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that each one of us should just, I mean, maybe it can be a hobby, but also just work on something creative, because it, all the time I saw on outreach when we invited people in to do creative things who said, I'm not a creative.
Yeah.
That's not a noun. That's like a verb. We all create. We're not, there's not one person that's a creative and one person that's not.
Yeah.
But when we invited them in, things changed and they experienced God in a different way. So I think each person should do creating in some sort of creative way.
Yeah. What are some, I think sometimes the word creative gets scary, especially because you like pull up on a platform all these creatives who make lots and lots of money. What would you define as some of those ways that you could exercise creativity?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, the more common ones that most of us engage in were watercoloring or writing or photography.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think just creating a space and an atmosphere, whether that's like with food, because mm-hmm. that can be so inviting, mm-hmm. or just creating a conversation with a person beside you, mm-hmm. Creating a garden, mm-hmm. just being in nature. It can be very broad and holistic.
Yeah. I love that. That makes it feel less scary.
Yes.
When you're like, well, I can't sing or I can't
draw. It does
not
have to be the common arts.
Yes.
It can be creative in your creativity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. Well, thanks for coming and joining us today. It was really good talking to you and even just hearing the ins and outs, because sometimes I think big things that are unknown mm-hmm. feel really scary. So hearing even just the ins and outs of practical, this mm-hmm. is what it looked like, this is this program, can be very helpful and make it less scary and more attainable to other people. So thanks.
Yeah, of course.
I look forward to seeing how this might be used.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. Next time in Mission Control, Pastor Dennis will be joining us. Dennis is getting ready to retire this summer after 24 faithful years of ministry here at First Baptist Melbourne. Dennis is currently serving as our disciple-making and senior adult pastor, and I'm looking forward to chatting with Dennis as he reflects on 24 years of ministry and looks forward to a new season of ministry in retirement. Until then, I hope you have a great week on mission with King Jesus.